Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the Gospel account, dear friends in Christ. The threat of Herod is serious. He had already beheaded Jesus' cousin John the Baptist. But if you ask me, the Pharisees aren't really trying to scare, aren't really worried about Jesus' safety as much as they're trying to scare him away because he's bad for business. I'm sorry. They can't have people hear the word of God, the word made flesh, see the signs that reveal him to be the long-awaited Messiah, and people who are brought to faith then seek to follow Jesus. That's just not good for them. Yet it is possible that these Pharisees, who genuinely desire Jesus' safety, as Acts tells us in Acts chapter 15, that some of the Pharisees came to faith. Whatever the reason, Jesus is no hired hand. He cares nothing for himself and everything for the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem and to lay down his life for his sheep, including those in Jerusalem of whom Jesus will lament, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The Pharisees must have been shocked and upset with Jesus' response. When they warn him, he responds, "Well, you just go and tell that fox," or you could think of in our modern parlance as it might have been well as saying, "Tell that weasel, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course." No one's going to take Jesus' life. He must freely give it. Remember how his hometown crowd sought to throw him off the hill and he passed right through them? John records Jesus' promise, "I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." And he will not lay it down until he is in Jerusalem. So to say Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem is to say that he's going there to lay down his life for you and me, as he told his disciples for the second time after being transfigured on the Mount. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day." This is how Jesus will die, and no other. His word is truth. The prophecies will be fulfilled. So our Lord decides to teach. "Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This passage shows three things. First, Jesus, the Christ, is voluntarily going to his passion. Second, he has great love for the people of Jerusalem in spite of the continued state of rebellion and sin, just as he does for you and me. And third, Jesus has foreknowledge of how he's going to die and how he's going to be received on Palm Sunday. Here, the Good Shepherd has come to his sheep and they have refused him. But still he came, and still he called. He called for them, and he preached. Luke tells us that during the final days in Jerusalem, he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel. He taught those conspiring to kill him, and those who killed him. He taught in the city responsible for the rejection and murder, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, because he longed for them and wanted them to know, "I will be pierced for your transgressions." Though they wanted no part of him, in fact, they wanted him gone altogether, just like us, when the Word of God gets in the way of what we want. Yet Jesus is going to finish the course. He's going to do what is set before Him. The course that Moses and Elijah had spoken to Him about on the Mount of Transfiguration. The course that He knew full well would end with His rejection, His death, and God be praised, His resurrection on the third day for you and me. Jerusalem, in every way that mattered, was a desolate place. It was forsaken. The priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and so many of the people refused to hear and see, just like today. They were not willing, and oh, how heartbreaking it is when our loved ones refuse to hear and see all that the Lord has done for them and all that the Lord is doing for them. Jesus even knows this pain, as His own brothers don't come to faith until after the resurrection. May this provide us strength to continue to keep our lost loved ones in our prayers, and that God would provide them with His gift of faith. Let us not only pray for them, but for all who have an opportunity to share the Word of God with them. For Jesus has promised to be with us always to the end of the age. These words of Jesus are spoken for us today. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. This forsakenness Jesus speaks of, points to, and includes the absence of the gospel from the temple. It points to and includes the destruction of Jerusalem that is to come at the hands of the Romans. It points to and includes the rising and the teaching of all false teachers that will continue to come and lead people astray even now, as those who claim to sit in God's temple and God's church oppose God's will, exalting themselves instead. And finally, this forsakenness points to and includes the times when everything seems to fall apart in our life, when faith seems to have disappeared from the earth, when the sun, the moon, and the stars fall from the sky and all is desolate. At this time, dear friends in Christ, don't run and don't hide. For our Lord will return for all the children of God. He will come in glory, and our hosannas, our cry, Lord, save us now, is answered. And on that day, everyone will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And then every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At that point, it'll be too late to run and too late to repent, too late to change your priorities, and all will know. All will know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sad to say, on that day, some will be confessing Jesus as Lord to their very judgment. Lord, have mercy on us all. This is why we gather today, to receive Jesus where He has promised to be. He has promised to be with His people, where two or more are gathered in His name, where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven come and join us here as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, where His word is proclaimed in truth and purity, where the gifts are distributed as baptism is given and lived in, and the Lord's Supper offered and received, all for the forgiveness of our sins. Dear family in Christ, our Savior comes once. He comes once as He rode on a donkey to die in Jerusalem on the cross, where He alone bore the sins of the entire world, and the third day has come and gone, and all who have God-given faith know that their Redeemer lives, and He will come a second time to take us to be with Him. All who have God-given faith know that because He lives, they too will live. For the Lord faced certain death and complete rejection to gather us under His outstretched arms, to bring life to all who believe. You and I now come together in the blessed name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knowing that even at our worst, God still loves us. Jesus still shed His blood for us. May we always be willing to repent and receive Jesus' gift of salvation and live in the peace that passes all understanding. For you see, nothing stops Jesus. Not the devil's temptations, not the Pharisees, not Herod Antipas, not even death. So why would we think it would be any different for us? This is why we can say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For he comes for you, and he comes for me, and all who believe. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.